The Gospel of Luke ends in quite a different way. I haven't forgotten it. Hold on. We have the resurrection of Jesus Christ at the ending of Luke's Gospel, but then we have him appearing not to any of the women, but to two men as they are walking on the road to Emmaus. They encounter the presence of Jesus, and Jesus, in essence, says to them, "So, what are you talking about?" And they kind of look at Jesus a little stunned and dumbfounded and say, "Are you the only one in the whole city of Jerusalem that has no idea what's been going on?" "No, what?" And these men begin to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, about his birth, about his teachings, about the events of Holy Week and the crucifixion, and now some say that he's been raised from the dead. And they continue journeying, and when it becomes close to evening, the two individuals invite Jesus to stay with them. And as they are sitting around the table, at some point Jesus takes bread. He blesses it. He breaks it and he gives it to them. And suddenly their eyes are opened as to who this one is. They recognize that it's Jesus. Boom, he's gone. He vanishes from their sight. And then looking back, you know, it's always hindsight. They realize, were not our hearts burning while we journeyed with this one that we didn't know? And so they leave that very hour and they return back to Jerusalem looking for the 11 disciples, because Judas is not part of them anymore. And they share with them the good news that they've experienced the resurrected Christ. And suddenly again, he's there in their midst. Now the disciples of these two friends, they're taken back. They're scared. They think that they're seeing a spirit. And then Jesus says, "Why are you troubled? What's going on? Why are you questioning about things that have arisen in your hearts? Look here and see my hands and see my feet. It's me. Come and hold on to me and see that I have flesh and bones." Now we know that in some of the other gospels, when the women wanted to come to Jesus and hold on, he held them at a distance and said, "Don't yet touch me because I've not yet ascended." To these disciples and these two men, Jesus has not yet ascended. That's going to take place in a few moments. But then Jesus says to me, "Hey, do you have anything to eat? Because spirits, ghosts, don't eat." And they offered him something, and Jesus consumed and ate it in front of them. And then our scripture lesson picks up from there. I would invite you, if you are able, to please rise for the good news of the Gospel of Luke. These words come to us from chapter 24, beginning with verse 44. "Then Jesus said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' And then Jesus opened their minds and they understood the scriptures. And he said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father has promised, So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And then Jesus led them out as far as Bethany. And lifting his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing Almighty God. The word of God for the people of God. Please be seated. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words of Scripture, for their teaching and claim upon our daily lives and living. O God, open our minds to understand your words of Scripture, not only for us today, but for every day as well. For we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. Let's take a walk down memory lane. How many of you remember learning to ride a bike? How many remember helping someone learn to ride a bike? You remember how it's done? Well, today you'd say, "All right, where's your helmet? Where are your elbow pads? Where are your shin guards? Where are your knee pads?" Because we know what's going to happen. There are going to be crashes, we know. And so you get the child on the bike, and maybe it's in a flat field or a part of the backyard or a parking lot, and first thing the parent or the adult does is grab hold of that steering wheel and grab hold of the back seat. And then you get a workout. You run or jog alongside of them and hold on as they pedal. And I don't know about you, but one of the commands I also taught my kids was stop. Because that just might help them on down the road. And so they'd slam on the brakes and I'd come to a stop and away we'd start it all over again. Hand on the handlebars, hand on the back of the seat, and then slowly you'd start to let go of the handlebars. Oh, you remember how that went. And then slowly, maybe over the day or the next few weeks, you'd be able to get on that, they'd be able to get on that bike, and you just held on to the back end seat, and they were able to go pretty straight. And then, well, take this turn this way, or take the turn this way, and away you'd go trotting off, and then you'd reach that point where you'd start to let go. But you didn't say you let go. But you continued jogging along beside them, grabbing hold and straightening them as time went along. And eventually more and more you let go and let go until finally you're standing on the sidelines watching that child ride. And then, of course, I'd yell, "Stop!" Let them slam on the brakes. Just to know. And of course, you know, if they had handlebar brakes, you had to teach them, don't squeeze the front brake. Or as a parent, you adjusted it so that it would never flip them head over heels, but that it would slow them down slowly. Letting go, having those skills and that knowledge to ride. The confirmation class today, these 7, 10, 11 young men and women have made an adult's decision to become a member of this particular church by following Jesus Christ. That time perhaps when mom and dad need to let go a little bit or to give a little bit of freedom. To let go of the seat on that bicycle a little bit. But for the rest of us, we know that God does that as well. Do you know, Jesus knows as he's ascending up into the heavens and the disciples are getting some freedom. He knows that he's done all that he could do for us. And he knows that the world is not going to be easy. There's going to be tension. There's going to be turmoil. There's going to be hatred. There's going to be opposition. But our Christ also realizes that we must live in the world. And I can hear the sound of the voice of Jesus Christ calling out to each and every one of us, "Honey, look out where you're going. But I'm with you and it's going to be okay." Jesus has completed a phase of his ministry of walking on the earth. And now he moves on to sit at the right hand of Almighty God. The appearance of Jesus Christ to these few individuals after the resurrection indeed impacts us today. It stresses the reality of the resurrection. Jesus was real before and after the resurrection. The one who was crucified was living and walking in their midst, and they were able to grab hold of him and to see that indeed, once again, he was a living flesh and bone. The appearance of Jesus Christ to these individuals stresses to us today the necessity of the cross. The scriptures continually look to the cross when we look at passages from the prophets in the Old and the scriptures in the New Testament. We see God's eternal and Jesus' great love for us. The appearance of Jesus Christ stresses the urgency of the task. It offers to each and every one of us, all of us today, a call to repentance, a call to forgiveness, a call for the church not to stay in that upper room, but to go outside of the walls of that building, out into the community, out into the world, for now comes the worldwide mission of the Church of Jesus Christ. The appearance of Jesus Christ in these days stresses the power of the Holy Spirit. They were encouraged by Jesus Christ to go and to wait in the city of Jerusalem because power from on high was going to come. If you want to know the rest of the story, come next Sunday because we celebrate the gift of Pentecost. The time to wait on God had ended, and now it was a time to begin the work for Almighty God within God's kingdom. And then with a happy ending, Jesus Christ ascends up into the heavens in front of those believers that had gathered with him on this day, and up into the skies he went. However, the happy ending does not end. And it does not end here today. It's just the beginning for us. Oh yes, we're called to get out of our comfortable upper rooms, just like Jesus called the modern or his believers and disciples to get out of the upper room, to get out of our comfortable pews, our comfortable churches, our comfortable homes. And to carry on the name and the ministry of Jesus Christ into all parts of the world, at home, in our communities, our works, our state, our country, and the world abroad. We have the scriptures. We even have our bicycles. And we have the power and the presence of Jesus Christ that rests upon each and every one of us. With us to give us guidance and direction. And so are we going to sit? Or are we going for a run? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you call us, you push us, you pull us to become great within your kingdom. And we become great, O God, by becoming the least, by becoming the servant, by humbly going into the world, living and sharing, proclaiming, giving the good news of Jesus Christ. O God, you have called us. May we go. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen.